Assorted Darlings. Thank you so much for tuning in to yet another exciting episode of I'm Here For It, the podcast. We have an exciting show ahead for you today. But before we begin, I want to lead you with this thought. Don't call it a plan, call it a comeback and make a plan. I'm one of your co-hosts. I'm Tia.
And I'm Tori.
And I'm your girl, Trina. We're excited that you tuned in again. When you have thousands of podcasting options, you chose us. And guess what? We choose you. Absolutely. How you beautiful ladies doing today?
Amazing.
Fantabulous.
Yes, you're looking good. You're looking good.
You're looking good.
And so are you.
All of you all.
Well, thank you so much, ladies. And seeing that it's March, we're going to continue our pattern of celebrating Women's History Month, giving kudos to women across the globe for their accomplishments and contributions to all aspects of society. Because we as a team are starting to dibble and dabble into the media industry, I can appreciate the person I'm about to mention's hard work and dedication to this game. I like to spotlight media mogul, Miss Angela Yee. Yi was born to a Chinese father and an Afro-Montserratian mother in Flatbush, Brooklyn, New York. She attended Wesleyan University, where she majored in English. After graduating, she pursued employment in the marketing department on the music side. Starting out as an intern for Wu-Tang Management led her career in media to endless opportunities. Working for Paul Rosenberg exposed her to a marketing position at Sirius Satellite Radio. When she asked Rosenberg to get her an interview, he encouraged her to interview for a hosting spot on a morning show called Cypher Sounds on Shade 45. Yi quickly agreed and focused her attention on improving her on-air skills, creating segments for the morning show. And after putting in years with Cypher Sounds and fostering relationships with industry heavy hitters, she began hosting The Breakfast Club on Power 105.1 alongside DJ Envy and Charlamagne Tha God. This trio went on to create history by bringing the best interviews and memories to their fans and frenemies for over 12 years. They were even inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame in 2020. Yi left The Breakfast Club in 2023 and started her own nationally syndicated show called Way Up, where she continues to educate, inform, and entertain her listeners. In addition to being a media mogul, she owns several businesses, a coffee shop called Coffee Uplifts People, a healthy juice company called Drink Fresh, as well as a hair extension company called Private Label. She's also a real estate investor, with her latest purchase being a 30-unit building in Detroit that will provide housing to formerly incarcerated women. Today, we salute you, Yi, and say thank you for your contribution to all Black and brown girls and women. You proved if you can do it, so can we. Get it, Yi. Keep on soaring, sisters.
Yes, I had no idea. I wear Private Label hair when I wear my bundles. She has some really nice hair.
Absolutely.
My whole family wears her hair.
Yeah, her store's out of Detroit. So, yeah, she is on it. She is on it from not only the media side, but she is a woman of that wears many hats. So we, I'm very happy to give her her flowers while she is still here to smell them.
Absolutely. And Trina, you just said something I love. We never hear about those other things. You know, we always expect them to give millions of dollars, right, to some charity. And people say, oh, she's not doing anything for the Black women or this woman or that woman. But she really is. She's just doing her thing. We just don't know about it. So thank you for bringing her to the forefront. I'm going to jump right on in and salute my women. Right now, I have to stay with my family because I come from a big family, you all. And they're uber, uber supportive in a lot of the things that we do. So this one, I'm going to have to do my cousins, my gal pals. My cousins, Patrice, Tarita, Donna, LaTanya, Sharon and Jean are so very supportive. And when we have an event, we always have huge events. And usually it's my sister, Kim and Selena. kicking them off or what have you. But I love them for their sisterhood and what they bring to the table, because they get, they're the epitome of family. And that's huge when, you know, some people don't have families, or they have them, but they're always fighting. And I used to fight my family. So but I even though I fought my family has always been there for me. So thank you, cousins.
And I'm jealous. Aww. So you come from such a big family. Growing up as an only child, it's always just been me. I wanted that, you know.
Girl,
all the family,
we gonna accept that. One of ours.
That's why Tori and I grew up like sister cousins, because we're all only children.
Well, you know what? Well, right now I'm gonna piggyback off of what Tia did say. I'm gonna shout out our cousins. We have a couple of beautiful cousins that I would like to shout out. I will start from the top. Angie, Sandra, Nikki, Tyresa, and I'll say Dion, and oh my gosh, Brittany,
Chardet, Brittany, and
Simone. Yes, I want to say Simone. You know what? Yes, you guys are out there doing your thing. Keep doing what you're doing. I love you guys. Stay focused, stay grounded. And that's all I have to say about my family.
Yeah, and we love you, cousins.
Yes,
we love you, cousins. Yeah, absolutely. When we get together, it's always a great time. Just keep being wonderful. All of you ladies.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They are very supportive. So thank you guys.
That's good. Like our Page cousins and family now. We done shot y'all out. I'm just saying.
Yes.
Well, let's jump into our segments. This segment is sponsored by Tori Styles LLC, your source for inspirational based products like Explore Books, prayer books, journals, coffee mugs, t-shirts, and customizable items for the small business brand you have. Visit www.toristyles.com. Next up, we got Come and Talk to T. Come on with it, Trina.
Well, on today's episode of Come and Talk to T, oh my goodness, when it rains, it pours. Yeah, we're going to call this episode Take That. When you dish out large sums of cash, it seems it may open the door for others to be brave and tell their stories. Well, here we go again with a whole nother allegation. Now, I know we done heard men and women coming out claiming sexual assault, being forced to take harsh drugs, and being trafficked, and things of that nature. Well, here we go with another accusation on behalf of Mr. Sean Adidi Love Combs, whatever you want to call him. Here we are again, guys. It's always been like a whisper in the past, but when Jamal Shine Barrow, formerly a bad boy artist, was sentenced to prison time, the whispers kind of died down a little bit. Well, back on December 27th in 1999, a club goer by the name of Natalie Rubin was shot in her face at a club in New York, in Manhattan. At the time, Rubin said it was Combs that shot her and not Shine. But baby, on February the 28th, Miss Rubin took to social media and said, "Let me tell you why this is the utmost importance to me, because I'm the woman that was actually shot in the face back in 1999. And I told everyone, from the medical staff to the surgeons who removed the bullets from her face." She admitted she told everyone, but no one seemed to believe her. She watched Combs actually fire the gun when she was shot in the face. The surgeon even testified during the trial that as he was putting her under anesthesia, she kept screaming, "Puffy shot me in the face. Puffy shot me in the face." Everybody knew it, but he paid them all off. Rubin claims that Combs was able to bribe witnesses to the crime to dispose of incriminating evidence against him. Rubin said a as a form of intimidation, her tires were mysteriously flattened several times. It was unbelievable that no one would listen to her. She did end up settling after Shine was sentenced to 10 years in prison for a crime that he didn't commit. She ended up settling for $1.8 million as a payout in damages by Combs. But does that really give her any type of security or feeling of being that I'm not going to be the next victim or he's not going to come after me again? She said, no, it did not. She just kind of laid low until all of these allegations start to come out against him. They say what happens in the dark will come to the light. And it seems like somebody cut the lights on in Diddy's house and the accusations are running like wild roaches. I'm not sure about the statute of limitations, so I don't know how this will play out, but we shall see. I mean, what do you ladies think? If she did tell the powers that be back then what happened to her and everybody totally ignored her because this man was so powerful, I understand how, you know, she just kind of faded into the darkness in fear of her life, right? She was afraid that no one, not even the authorities, no one would listen to her. So she just faded away. But now that all of these other accusations are coming out, I think it gave her some sort of superpower to tell her story. So I wonder how it'll play out. You guys think he'll, you know, be, see any type of reprimanding for this action, or it happened back then and that was what it was and this incident will never come up again? What you guys think?
Well, I'm no lawyer and I don't play one on TV. However, you already have someone who lied under oath, who has done jail time, who has gotten out and turned his life around. And even if he said it now, like you said, have the statutes run out? Because now you got a whole nother thing, because now you can be in trouble again for lying under oath, right? And even though she said it, did you accept payment back then? You settled. So again, I agree with double jeopardy. You can't come back and say, okay, now you want to collect again. You know, you done run around, you pass go, you collected your 200, right? So now you want to come back and collect again. So is it about getting you some more money, or is it truly about seeing Sean pay for his alleged crimes? I don't think this is something that's going to stick, to be honest with you. I think all the other stuff that's coming out about his sexual prowess is that's what's going to highlight. And even that, I'm going to be honest with you all. I love me some Diddy, but I don't love crime. I don't. But I also don't. What I detest the most is someone, and I think R. Kelly is for this as well. Did he probably do those things? But did you willingly? I just don't think we get to say, hey, let's throw you in jail or all these people coming out. Because guess what? You were there. You either participated directly or indirectly. And why do you now get to come? Well, he did it against my will. Did he really? Or did you participate and want it to happen? So I don't like, because every man in the world should fear this happening to them. Some girl from back in eighth grade or sophomore year of college can come back and say you raped her just because now you're doing well for yourself and you think you are owed some of his money. And I think that's the same thing that's happened with Diddy. I think we got to be very, very careful, because the other piece of that, it can backfire and it can all happen to women. And trust me, we got to be very, very careful of how we're waving that baton. And yeah, he did
this too, lightly.
He didn't say anything then. So why say something now? Let it go. You lightly. Move on with your life.
Absolutely. Great point. Great point, Tia.
Yeah.
What you think, Tori?
Well, in this situation, I do think that there should be statute of limitations, because like all those people came back against Bill Cosby from way back and put that man in jail, you know, and I feel like they had ample opportunity to go ahead and tell and say, hey, he did this to me. But when it should just be a cutoff as to when you can
I agree.
You can scream rape or whatever. I am mm-hmm. not promoting that women shouldn't tell. And I do believe that sometimes you are afraid to tell, or you're afraid that people don't believe you, but there still should be a statute of limitations on it. But with all the things that I am hearing about Diddy, I am not a fan of somebody getting money like Diddy. I used to like Diddy, but I'm starting to wonder, did he kill Tupac? Did you kill Biggie? He just seemed like he sounded really, really toxic, really all about Diddy. You know what I mean? And I do believe what you do in the dark is going to come to the light. And I do believe that if he's doing all of this stuff that they're saying he's doing, I hope he does end up going to jail. Now that.
Or did.
Or did. Is that what you said?
No, because they said that he did things back at these parties or whatever. And mm-hmm. I love this statement by Denzel Washington, because he told, I forget the actor's name, but he told this actor, leave 30 minutes before the devil arrives. That mean all the other shenanigans are going to go down. Mm-hmm. So be out of there. So what does it say about you as a person who, I was at one of them parties and he did this, but you didn't leave the party. You didn't. Mm-hmm. You didn't say, hey, that ain't me. I'm on the party. You didn't leave the party.
No. Yeah. And even. Right. Even back in our day, Trina, were you there when the lynch mob was in Indianapolis, when we went to a lynch mob concert? You know, this was back when Ice Cube broke off, it was him. It was a Too Short concert or whatever. And, you know, we're young, and there was an after party at the hotels, right? And so I know it was me, Danae, and Marty. I don't know if Trina, if you were there or not, but we went up to the floor where the guys were at, and they said, ladies, you look like some nice girls. You know, they was like, you might want to leave, because I don't think this is your type of party. And when I say we had the elevator's door opened up, the men was butt naked in the hallway with some girls. You know how they had that episode with Bye Felicia? Down. They mm-hmm. had on their Jerry Curl. All you saw was Jerry Curls and lynch mob hats and butt naked men. And we like, nah, this ain't our floor. So we had to leave before the shenanigans began. And
mm-hmm. and you luckily should you leave. Got a warning. Yeah, absolutely. Because in California now, although I wasn't mm-hmm. at that particular party, mm-hmm. but growing up in South Central Los Angeles, I've been to some entertainment parties to where I was like, what is going on? What room did I just walk into? And mm-hmm. I need to leave now. So I totally understand when you're mm-hmm. saying what you're saying to you. And I, unfortunately, I wasn't lucky enough to get warning shots by anybody but God. God showed mm-hmm. me, exposed me. Girl, you ain't supposed to be up in here. You get on up out of here. Look, right. Look what's over there. If you don't get on, you best to go quick, okay? I'm talking about parties that women were like jumping over fences and like high fences to get into these parties, because they were considered the it parties or the parties to be at.
I'm saying? You'll sell mm-hmm. yourself, your soul to Absolutely. The devil. Just mm-hmm. to be in the mix. And now that you mm-hmm. found God, you found peace, yep. you found later in life of mm-hmm. what looks bad now, you know, and that's these young girls, we got to reach our young girls, because now mm-hmm. you're later in life and now we look back and you're like, God, what did I dodge a bullet? What mm-hmm. in the murder mm-hmm. she wrote was happening? So, yeah, and that's what I kind of feel. Everybody's, it's all fun and games until somebody gets hurt.
Yep.
Right.
Absolutely.
But and if you like on it. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, T.
Yeah, but on the flip side of that, just like with that Risa Tisa episode, you don't want to silence us women either. It's just a catch-22. It just has to be a time frame as to when you're going to tell, because you want to expose the behavior so that it doesn't happen to the next woman. So you want to make sure that you are not saying, hey, this is okay for this man who's a celebrity and has money to be able to do any and everything to me. But you do want there to be some type of statute of limitation so women aren't out there crying rape when just because they, men people aren't out there crying rape, and then people are being falsely accused of things that they didn't do. But I don't want to silence women. Just put a statute of limitation on it, or men.
I don't say silence. And here's the reason. I think that because we are women, and when you go through something traumatic, I think that, again, the onus is on us to sound the alarm, ring that alarm. And because, again, I go back to, I think it was our first or second episode where I said, you know, it's, am I my sister's keeper? I want to say something so that this next person doesn't get hurt. But now that all these men are coming out too, again, y'all were partying. It's just like Woodstock. Now, I wasn't there during the days of Woodstock, but everything was free flowing and loving and, you know, reefer smoking or whatever. That's how I kind of put those parties. So if you're at those parties, you contributed. So you should actually be in trouble as well if that is the case, because it's just like if you see a robbery or rape and you don't say anything, you're in the car of the robbery, but you don't say anything and you're caught, somebody dies in that, you're complicit. So I think this is kind of the same way. You can't keep coming back being like, oh yeah, Diddy did this, because now everybody on the Diddy train. And I don't know that he did or didn't. I'm just not down with all the rape allegations when you were partying in your mind back then. But now, like I said, you done found Jesus and you it was wrong.
Or that 1.8 then left, then is gone. Are you looking for some more? I'm not saying that's what the situation is. I'm not saying, but to piggyback off of what you were saying, Tia, if we've already tried a person for this crime, and he's done his time, for you to even come back and say, this is what happened after, you know, this case has been closed, it's kind of like, could be detrimental to Shine as well. Because if that were the case, he lied on the stand, then you know, you could be hurting more than Diddy, which, if that's her intent, I'm assuming that's her intent is to hurt him, but she could potentially hurt Shine as well. So it's just a crazy thing that, again, what happens in the dark, it will definitely come to light.
There you go. That part. Yep.
Well, that's all that I have on today's episode of Come and Talk to T. And until next time, stay in the know. Next up, we have our beautiful Miss Tori with Behind the Makeup. What do you have for us today, T?
Well, this listener, as always, with this listener letter, we just want to say that we are not doctors or therapists. We just want to let you know that we are women giving our opinion from our perspective. With that being said, the letter goes, Dear IH4I ladies, I recently lost $2,700 gambling, but my husband doesn't know it because it came from my 401k. However, we always agreed that we would just have a discussion about purchases over $500. But technically, this did not come from our joint account. I have to be honest, I believe I am entering a realm of spinning out of control. He doesn't know that I'm gambling. When I win, I also keep it to myself, but I do a little things for the household, like purchase groceries or pay bills. Am I wrong for not bringing this to the table? And how do I know if I need help? Okay, listener. First of all, you said you lost $2,700 gambling. You said that you believe that you're on the realm of spinning out of control, and you're not supposed to spend anything over $500, purchase anything over $500 without consulting your husband. So I do want to say, yes, you are wrong for not bringing it to the table, because I want to let you know something, that even your 401k is not your own money. When you are married, a portion of your 401k belongs to your husband, whether you know it or not. I was married. Your 401k is not your own. So if you ever go through a divorce, they will want to look at your 401k and they will give a portion of it to your husband, just to let you know that. But hopefully that's not your case, but I just want to let you know what the facts are. And I don't know if you are spinning out of control. I don't know how many times you've gambled, but I will say this. Anytime you have to question what you're doing, you might be on the verge of spinning out of control. Just the fact that you reached out to us lets me know that you kind of have an inkling that you're starting to have a problem. So I would talk to my husband about it. And I mean, I don't think that this is anything that will be detrimental to your marriage. If you just let him know what's going on, hopefully it won't be. But if you do need help, there is help out there for people like that. Just like they have Alcoholic Anonymous, they have Gamblers Anonymous, and there are people out there that can help you in situations like this. But you do not want to throw your money away, girl. $2,700 gambling. Sure. You can donate that to I'm Here For It, the podcast. We'll take that. But throwing $2,700. Yeah, honey, don't. You know, even for me, I'm not a big gambler, but even I've been on those gambling boats, and I tell myself, I'm not going to spend over $20 because have you heard the house always wins? The gambling is set up for them to win, not you, baby.
Absolutely.
So $2,700, no, that's too much money. And you're not supposed to spend over five. Don't take more than five to the boat or what, the casino, or wherever you're going. But ladies, what do you think about this?
Yeah. Well, she said it herself. She, you know, she felt as if she were spiraling out of control, because, you know, she's afraid to talk to her husband about this huge loss of money. To me, it does sound like she may be heading down the wrong direction, you know, when it comes to this newfound hobby of hers. So I would say, if you are potentially putting yourself in a situation to where you know that this could affect your marriage, I would say slow down, you know, back out of it. Find a way to get yourself some help before you get in too deep. I know Tori just mentioned that there are so many different outlets out there. You can contact 1-800-GAMBLER, talk to somebody, see if they can help you with what you're currently experiencing and prevent your habit from escalating out of control. Go online. There's all type of different organizations that help people who are in situations like yourself. So at this point, I would say focus on you and getting yourself out of this new habit that may potentially affect your marriage.
I agree with you both. And I'm going to piggyback off of, because you both made valid points where she can get help at. More importantly, sister friend, if you're afraid to go to him over $2,700, where do you think and how do you think you're going to feel when you lose the house, you lose your marriage, you lose your kids, you lose those relationships, because that's what happens next. So I don't know a whole lot about gambling. I just know I don't like it myself. Because I don't like to lose money that way. I would rather put it on a good lobster dinner.
I need a bag to go home with my money.
Right.
I need to
go
play some shoes, some outfits, some
But get some help while you've only lost a little so that you don't lose a lot. That would be so.
Right.
Good luck, sister. We're praying for you. We know you'll be fine.
Right. And a lot of times, I will say this one last thing about that is just another thing to think about when you're gambling or you're doing or you have any what they call an addictive tendency or addictive behaviors. You're trying to, most of the time they say that you're trying to fill a void. So you might want to speak to someone because it might be a void that you're trying to fill by gambling. And you need to just talk to somebody about that to see what's really going on with you. So
absolutely.
That's another thing that I wanted to say. Yes. So listeners out there, we do want to hear from you. If you have any advice for this listener, please put it down in the comments, and you can DM us with your questions. And also, if you want us to address any letters, you can do so by emailing us at questions@imhereforit.com. And now we are going on to our next segment. So Tia, what do you have for us?
Well, this is our main topic, ladies. This is what we all come here for and show up for. And because it's Women's Month, I thought it to be very important to talk about nothing else but women's rights to vote. More importantly, and I'm just going to read this, ladies, to our listeners, the 19th Amendment makes it illegal to deny the right to vote to any citizen based on their sex, which effectively granted women the right to vote. It was first introduced to Congress in 1878 and was finally certified 42 years later in 1920. Wow. So with that being said, the reason I thought this was such a hot topic and we're getting ready to vote for our next president, and a lot of people say the presidential thing doesn't matter, and they're somewhat right. So I'm going to jump right in with my tips, and I'll tell you why. What we don't realize is voting for those small constituents, your mayors, your presidents, governors, and all of that, you have to vote for those. And I'm going to tell you, your governor, and then it starts climbing, right? Now, the president, I see why a lot of people say not the presidency, because the presidency is really, for lack of a better term, and I don't want to be disrespectful, but they're basically the middleman between your Republicans and your Democrats, right? So people feel, and they're become puppets, essentially, is what people are saying. But with that, you vote for those ground levels, because those are the ones where your rights are being interrupted. They're the ones deciding on, hey, how much you gonna go to jail for a gram of weed versus a gram of coke. And, you know, they set those little bitty laws that put a lot of our Black and brown people into these prisons. But more importantly, women, why we have to get back on board. And I'm talking to, once you become of age to vote, ladies, what's happening is that we have men who are deciding for us when and where we can have a baby, or if we can abort that child or whatever. And I won't say no matter what your belief is, I will say it matters that you vote on the ground level. Why should someone who can't even bear a child tell you when and where if you can have a child? Tupac said it best, and Brenda's got a story thing. He said it best. And that's why this topic is so near and dear to my heart, because how dare someone come and tell us, hands off our bodies. You'll see the movement all the time. Get your hand off my body. Get your hand off my rights. We have to really appeal to ladies voting nowadays, just because it's whether or not if you can have a baby tomorrow. And I did see something that said this, a man had on TikTok. If you can't tell, I'm on TikTok a lot, but he had on there like, oh, we should take away women's right to vote. Well, what if everybody starts listening to that? They change Roe versus Wade. Don't tell me they can't change the 19th Amendment. So
who would have ever thought? Yeah.
We got to wake up. What do you guys think?
Yeah. No, I have. Go ahead, Trina.
I'm with you when you're right, Tia. You said it best. Today, we're dealing with them taking away our rights to do what we wish to do with our bodies. Tomorrow, what will it be? And not just for women. I mean, they were even talking about, or there was some circulation of rumors going around that, you know, the laws in regards to slavery being reversed. So it's just so many things that, you know, us voting, having that right to vote, will be affecting if we choose to stay at home and sit on the couch. So I'm with you, Tia. We have to be active from the ground level, from our own communities, our own states, onto the presidential side of things, because they dictate the laws and they have the rights to turn things around. Who would have thought that 49 years after Roe v. Wade was actually put into place that it would be reversed? So if we're not out there being active and making sure that we're voicing our opinions and adding our contributions to society by voting, then who knows what will be tomorrow. So it's very important that we get out there and exercise our rights. People fought for it. People died for it. Our ancestors, you know, it's so many different factors that our ancestors played where they couldn't vote. Things that, and we sit around and we say, okay, well, I don't feel like going out today. Super Tuesday doesn't matter. I don't need to go out and vote for who my next governor or who my next Congress or who the next judge is going to be in my area. I don't need to be concerned about that. I'll just wait until the presidential election. Wrong. That is not the case. It matters all the way around. And most importantly, at the local level. So get out there and exercise your rights, ladies and men. All of our listeners,
everybody. Exercise your rights. I detest a person who says, oh, I don't vote. It don't matter. My vote don't matter. Okay.
Your vote does.
I will not date you if you tell me you don't vote. I'm out.
Right.
Because you're hurting me as a person or whatever. So, Tori, what were you going to say?
Right. Well, I agree with both of you ladies. We do need to get out there and vote. It's critical that women get out there and vote. First of all, we are the majority in this country. It's more women on earth than there is men. And we don't want to just allow men to dictate to what we can and cannot do. And then also, I hate to say it, but I'm going to put it out there, you know, like the United Supreme Court is mostly old white men who have the mentality of slavery days. They don't know what's really going on in modern day and age. Like right now, I was just listening to my Alexa device this morning. You do want to vote at the ground level. You want to start voting for your mayors and everything like that and your governors, because they will be the ones that protect you. Like right now, what's going on with women's rights is IVF. So women who are having fertility issues, the United States Supreme Court want to say, hey, these embryos are our babies. And if the doctors do anything wrong to them, they'll be held liable. Well, first of all, this is my opinion. You know, when you're a doctor, they have insurance for those matters. It's when you're dealing with something that small, you're just dealing with what men don't know. You're just dealing with a few cells, about 200 cells that have some sperm attached to it. And then it might in 5 days may have grew to a few more cells. But and I'm not a doctor, so don't quote me on it if I'm wrong. But at that point, those embryos, those frozen embryos do not have a heartbeat. But if something happened to those embryos, the doctors, they're fearful now because they're saying, hey, doctors, you're going to be at fault. And this is some judge saying that, hey, if you do this, if you give these women IVF, you know, they're going to be liable. And at that point, that's making the doctors fearful. So they're not helping women who really might need the assistance, that might really want to have children. So what happened is in Alabama, their governor overturned that because there were women out there voting against this. And they're like, hey, in our state, we're going to allow IVF. We're going to allow the treatment, and we're not going to hold these IVF centers responsible for it. Yes. So now they can go back to business helping bring life to the world. So we do have to be careful when they're trying to take our rights away from us. And then also, it's crazy that, you know, I mean, I know abortion is a sin, but everything is a sin, you know, and sometimes you have to like if somebody raped my 10-year-old daughter, this was another thing that was brought up. Right. If my 10-year-old daughter had been raped, I would not want to put her at risk of having a baby at 10 years old, a child. She's
her tiny body
carrying this baby. Because whenever you carry a baby, you know, they say it's the closest thing to death that could ever happen.
Ooh,
and right.
And a man, a man does not know that pain. So how can you determine if I should be made to endure that pain? And under what cause? Like, you don't get to choose.
Mm-hmm. And even now, it's like, I hate to say it, but even the children that are in, that my children that are 19, 20 years old, they don't seem as responsible enough to even carry to be parents. You know, it's like, I know I was a teen mom, but my daughters don't seem to know enough to be parents right now. It's like, they're a little clueless to what's going on. Or the son.
Give me daddies, like, right, Trina?
They'll be like, Ma, what are you doing this situation? I mean, I know you have to do that anyway, but they're not ready. And if I think they should have the right to choose what they want to do. And that's what voting gives you, the right to choose in all aspects, to me.
And that's why I wanted to talk about this today, because we're getting there. We're getting close. And let me tell you, you know, the other thing when people say, well, I don't vote because I don't like none of them. Well, that's the worst stance you can take as well. Voting is not about finding the right one. It's finding the lesser of two evils. It's like dating. You know, what am I willing to deal with? You know, he throws his toothbrush on the counter and he leaves his drawers on the floor, versus this one who picks up his drawers and puts up his toothbrush, but he leaves his dirty plate in the dish sink for me with all his food on it. So it's just about finding the lesser of two evils and just really speaking to ladies. If we are truly going in the way that the music, our music people, our Cardi B's and Megan Thee Stallion's and Nicki Minaj's are talking, let's be powerful. Let's talk about how, if you're truly talking about you leading things, lead in that way though, and lead with that positivity that in voting, because we will rock the vote. You know, we have to send a loud message that, wait a minute, I heard something on I'm Here For It podcast, that, you know what, I'm going to let my voice be heard. I'm not going to let you just tell me, because some of us live so freely that we think, oh, it all just fall into place. It doesn't fall into place. We have to help it into place.
Absolutely. And just before we, you know, head out of here, I wanted to add a couple of things. Please make sure that you're doing your homework and your research, and make sure to vote for the candidate that has your best interest at heart. Yes. What policies they support, make sure that they're in line with what you're looking to have accomplished. And see, you know, just make sure that you are doing your due diligence in the end, because your vote does matter, but make sure that you're educating yourself to select the best candidate that has your best interest at heart.
Absolutely. And I'd like to say it, just to piggyback real quickly, it's not about you. They may not have everything 100%.
No.
But vote for the one that has your best interest at the end of the day. They may have this and the other one may have that. But which one has the most that you can deal with, that you can back? You know, because like I said, those are the ones, those people that you're voting for at the ground level are the ones who are deciding your life. So be smart in your choice.
Yeah, and there's a lot of misinformation that's going around on social media as well, which is why it's very important to do your own homework and your own research and not just listen to what you're hearing. Don't let that dictate who you are going to vote for. If you do your own homework and research, you'll gain that knowledge to know what works best for you. So do your due diligence. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that was a great topic, ladies. Thank you guys so much for discussing this. It's crucial to our being as women, our gender, and we have to fight for it. And especially, again, I'm sorry, I got to throw this other piece in there. And I'm not against transgender at all. But when someone's trying to say that this is what goes, we have to make sure we change the narrative, or we correct the narrative, more importantly. But with that being said, thank y'all for a good show today. Tori, what you got? Take us on out of here.
Well, thank you so much for tuning into it and tuning in today to I'm Here For It, the podcast. We're now streaming on all podcast platforms. Please like and subscribe to our channel and also share with your friends so they can know that we're out here. We are on YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and just to, when I say all podcast channels, we are out there on Spotify. Please take a listen to us as you're driving in the car on Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Apple Music as well. So come back. Yes, let's run those numbers up. Come back for salacious topics that myself, Trina, and Tia will bring to you each week. We're never scripted and highly addictive. I'm here for it.
I'm here for it. Absolutely. Until next time.
Thank you.
Have a good one.